Who said wholesale should be an afterthought? Wholesale continues to be the most profitable investment channel for brands, accounting for an average of 60% of total company sales. That's why New Order by Lightspeed is bringing smarter B2B buying and selling to the forefront of brands and retailers' minds with a commerce platform that helps them grow and win together. Discover how New Order's wholesale and retail assortment solutions can help you compete thoughtfully and deliver exceptional buying experiences. Learn more at neworder.com. That's NUORDER.com. Thanks for tuning in to the Glossy Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Manoff, and today I sit down with Jimmy and Lan Sansone, two of the three brothers behind The Normal Brand, which makes easy, comfortable clothing suitable for workdays and weekends. Since launching in St. Louis in 2015, The Normal Brand has opened 11 stores in cities including Nashville, Indianapolis, and Minnesota, plus it sells in more than 500 stores nationwide. I wanted to ask the founders about the advantages and disadvantages of making the business a family affair. I'm also interested in the growth strategy and whether fundraising and coastal cities are essential components. Welcome to you, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Lan. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Jimmy, we first met in your store at Ladue Crossing, which is near my home. We are all in St. Louis, which is wild. Tell me about that store. That was not the original.
It was. That store opened, in August 2019. So that was our first venture into our own brick and mortar stores. Our mom was really behind the design of it. And from everything from the look, the feel, the smell, she was big on that as well. And that store has been voted number one men's store in St. Louis multiple times. And that's what really gave us the confidence to continue opening them.
Oh my gosh. Well, I tell you what, that store is something. I think I was geeking out, and it was around Christmas time when I went in, and it had really like Ralph Lauren vibes with the bar, and it just felt cozy. And I was like, who designed this? And you're like, my mom. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Lan, tell me, I was creeping on everybody's LinkedIn, and it says, everyone says like brother and founder. Do you guys have specific roles in the company, or how would you describe that?
Yeah. So Jimmy, who's the oldest of the family, he really is the one that founded the company. And then Conrad, our other brother, and I joined, and we each oversee different parts of the business. So my focus is on the wholesale side of things. So working with all the men's and women's specialty stores, and Conrad handles all the retail, and then Jimmy handles all the product. And that's how we handle it.
Amazing. Well, I know there's a fun founder story. Jimmy, start it with you and maybe like the perfect shirt. Walk us through it.
Yeah, you got to start a little bit before then. So we grew up in a big family. I'm the oldest of 10 kids, and we grew up really encouraged to be entrepreneurial from our parents. So first business we ever started, I was like 12 with my brother Conrad running just a summer camp. So we would do that business continues to this day with our younger siblings who run it. So whether it was that or we'd seal driveways in the summer, like the tar on the blacktop driveways. I sold poinsettias during Christmas, during college. I also at the same time was just obsessed with clothes. And that was kind of really inspired from our grandpa, who was really big on dressing appropriately. And so from the time I was really little, loved clothes. Never thought I would go into it professionally. Ever. It wasn't until I was working in finance out of college and investment banking, and I just had this need of where can I find a normal shirt, and thus started the venture of trying to make them for myself, and then people seemed to like them, and so thought maybe this could be a company.
Hence the Normal Brand. It's normal. Yeah. Did you envision, was this during the DTC heyday? Was it like you're seeing all these brands that are making a go of it, and that was, you wanted to do the same thing? This is digitally native?
Yeah, it really was. At that time, big unicorns like Warby Parker and Harry's Razor and Everlane and Casper Mattresses, that was really kind of the heyday. I mean, WeWork, which was a little bit different, but still raising hundreds of millions of dollars, and this direct-to-consumer craze. And so, yeah, we started online, and it got really lucky because brands like Shopify had just started around this time. So able to built the first website on Squarespace and realized that the cart functionality wasn't as good. So literally in a night, we're able to build a website on Shopify. And So we started online and then quickly expanded into wholesale, and wholesale became a big bulk of our business. And then after that, then we started opening our own stores.
Nice. Lan, you're overseeing wholesale. Tell me about the retailers that make sense for the business. And you mentioned special or men's and women's stores. I don't know if you use the word specialty, but I'm hearing more and more about the power of the specialty store and maybe not necessarily the department store, but what's the breakdown?
Right when the company started, we went to our very first trade show in August of 2015, which was the Chicago Collective. And we packed up a van, all of our siblings, and went to the show. And our mom designed the booth. At that time, we didn't have a lot of product, but we were able to meet with a lot of accounts all over the country and picked up, I think, 30 retailers at that time to carry our product. And since that time, we've expanded quite a bit to over 500, like you said, specialty boutiques, both men's and women's. And we're also in some major department stores, which we're proud of as well, including Dillard's and Von Maur, and we sell to Nordstrom. And to be in those wholesale boutiques really is very important for us with long-term partners. And that it also helped us with envisioning our own store. So having kind of our own little shop in their shop.
Yes, nice. And what's the breakdown between direct and retail sales these days, or wholesale sales, sorry?
Our online is about 60% of the business, and wholesale is almost 30%. And then the rest is retail.
Amazing. Yeah. You had 30 orders out of the gate. Tell me, you're based in St. Louis. Like, tell me about how your supply chain is set up and really like meeting those demands. Did it mean like ramping up the business? Did it mean fundraising? Like, were you set up to handle this huge order?
In 2015, there was, you know, MOQs, right? Minimum order quantities. And so we only had 4 shirts and a few. I mean, I think we maybe had 8 SKUs or something like that. It was very, very small, maybe 10. But we had to order these minimum order quantities. And honestly, we didn't know how we would sell them all. And so we thought we had too much. And so, you know, we had online, and then we expanded into wholesale, which definitely helped. We ended up selling out, which was a great problem to have. But our supply chain has gotten more sophisticated over the years. I visit our factories at least once or twice a year. On the fundraising standpoint, we're 100% bootstrap business. So we've never raised a penny of capital. And that's made us, have a good, strong foundation and be a profitable business and hopefully a sustainable one.
Yes. What have you guys come to believe about the power of a store, a branded store, your own store? We went through the pandemic, stores shut down, everybody got cautious and scared, but stores are working for you, yeah? And what's the experience? Go ahead.
Big time. Yeah, I think to have a real lasting brand, you have to have a brick and mortar presence. I mean, all the majors have done that, all the major brands, right? So it's really like walking into what was once just in our minds, just kind of a dream. Our stores is really like walking through that. So it's the only place that you can fully get the 360 degree view, taste, touch, taste, meaning like, you know, we offer drinks, et cetera, when you walk in, touch, obviously the products, the smell, and then have the interaction with our great teammates all around the country. And so it's been really important for us, and we've seen a great reaction to it. And then, you know, those people, if they're just visiting these cities that we're in, they'll come and buy us online or go to one of our wholesale partners. So overall, it's been a great venture.
Nice. Lan, you mentioned kind of how your retail partners have informed your approach to stores. Has it informed where you've opened stores, and what else have you borrowed from that?
Yeah, so Conrad spends a lot of time on analyzing data with our wholesale, online, and then actually him physically going to these locations and just counting foot traffic. So there's a lot of work that goes into it and figuring out the location of where our own stores are going to be. But yeah, we get great feedback from our partners, and I talk to them daily, and it's really cool and they talk about it all the time, to look back 5, 6, 7 years ago And just to see kind of a lot of the accounts, how they've grown, and then how we've grown together.
Nice. Well, I've noticed there are no stores on the coast. Is that, I don't know, strategic? It's expensive on the coast. Tell me about the approach.
We've had some locations that that we had teed up to go in New York, in Boston, and so those are definitely on our radar. I think at the beginning specifically, it made sense for us to open in our own backyard, and then our next door, which was in Nashville, is just a short drive away. And so us trying to figure out kind of the, we came to this, not all of us, with zero experience. And so figuring out how to set up the correct processes, it made sense to be in driving distance. But I think we're at the point now where, many of our stores are a plane ride away. And so the coasts are definitely on our to do, but it's really, we don't really have like, we have to be in this city or we have to be in that city. We want to be where our customers are. And so that's who we're trying to find.
Yes, I noticed in 2022, I think you opened four stores. I think I may have it wrong. Five, 2023, five stores. Is this, are we expecting six this year? Like, is this the cadence?
I think we're going to take a step back. We're going to open at least two this year,
Cool.
but really focus on, getting the team ready, and kind of we're investing a lot in our team right now and growing our headcount to make sure we continue to make a great product for our customers.
Tell me about the team. Who's running this show besides the three brothers?
We've got a great team. We're headquartered here in St. Louis. There's about, I don't know, maybe 25 of us here in St. Louis, and then team members around the country at our retail stores, and a few remote folks as well. But we really focus on culture, so humble, hungry, and smart is a super important thing. That
That's what
none of
we
this is
say
kind
at
of an.
Digiday. Humble, hungry, and smart. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, then you guys must be Patrick Lencioni fans, which is those books are kind of, we've gobbled all those up. He's actually become a customer, which is a really cool thing. And so yeah, not an original idea, but we love that. I think the idea of, we grew up on a team, me, Land, and Conrad, really, and growing up in this big family, and then we played team sports through college. And so trying to have a business that runs like a great team, I think the first thing you need is humility, no ego. And so those are really, that's kind of one of the core qualities we look for when building our team.
Nice. Do you leave family stuff at home? Lan, tell me about the pros and cons of working with fam.
We get this question a lot. I think for me, it's the best part of the business is working with family, working with my two brothers. And we grew up in a family where my dad works with his siblings as well. So we've always been around business and family and him working with his dad. And also, I don't know if we said this, but besides our mom designing our stores, our other brother, Nico, handles all of our real estate. And so it's 100% a family business. And yeah, I'm very, very fortunate.
So cool. Well, what's working to acquire customers? You mentioned one. That's wearing your clothes. It's exciting. How are you getting the word out? Are influencers a part of this? I feel like you guys are budding influencers, if not influencers. Lan, I said I started following you on TikTok or seeing you on my TikTok. But anyway, what's working to get eyes on the brand?
It's a good question. It's changed a lot over the years and over since we started. Since there's so many family members, we kind of have our own built-in team there. And we've also worked with a few different influencers or partners to help kind of spread the brand awareness. And then we do a lot on paid social. We do catalogs, of course, our wholesale business. And it's constantly we're constantly looking at it, and it seems like it's changing, daily.
Right on. Digital ads, is that a diminishing part of your like marketing play, or like is it becoming less crucial and maybe you're moving on to something else? I'm hearing about all the challenges in that world.
We're actually seeing our cost of acquiring customers has been going down.
Great.
And I think it's a lot of it is us evolving and our execution of it, right? And just doing kind of the things right. So we're seeing a good return. Meta is still kind of the number one. Lan, actually, it's a great superpower we have. He's got this incredible TikTok following. So our exposure to TikTok is basically on his account, and he's got, I don't know, millions and millions of views, which is a really cool thing for us. But I think that overall with on our digital media strategy, it's just, it's all about great creative. And so I think our team here does a phenomenal job of getting great creative. We're also very lucky. And again, it's a just a strength and kind of an unearned one that our siblings play a role in being the models in a lot of our photo shoots. And so just even being able to have our photographer, who's a friend of our, who's become like a friend. I mean, he was at my wedding, we'll be at his. Who just will tag along on a family trip and kind of document it, and then we'll throw that stuff up and it ends up performing well for us.
How great. The importance of networking, if not family, just having connections, yeah?
Right, 100%.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, digital marketing is not challenging necessarily. What is challenging for you guys right now?
Well, I think that, you know, with a business like this, which is really a global business, I mean, managing the supply chain is always something that we have to stay on top of. You know, obviously going through COVID, that had its share of challenges. That continued for a few years with the ports and the cost of freight, et cetera. I think everything, even if you go through the 3PL and really kind of getting it to the customer, there are kind of challenges everywhere. But I think with our team, we kind of have a very solution-driven mindset. And so we try to look at these challenges as opportunities. And I think in 2024, we're starting to evolve into a really well-run operation. Not to say that we don't run into issues, because we do, but one of the things that we try to do with the Norm brand is we're really honest about it with our customers. So like, as an example, literally 2 nights ago, our website just went blank. We had no pictures on the website.
Oh, no.
There was an issue with Shopify. And so we made a post about it, told our customers, we have, our website is blank. If you buy something, you really trust in us, because you literally are like blind and clicking on something. But those are the things we talk about, and our customers see us for what we are, is people. And, you know, sometimes we'll make mistakes, and that's just the way it goes.
We'll be right back after this quick break. Who said wholesale should be an afterthought? Wholesale continues to be the most profitable investment channel for brands, accounting for an average of 60% of total company sales. That's why New Order by Lightspeed is bringing smarter B2B buying and selling to the forefront of brands and retailers' minds with a commerce platform that helps them grow and win together. With New Order by Lightspeed, buyers and sales reps are empowered with data, powerful integrations, and features that eliminate hassles in the market-to-order process. This platform allows them to focus on what truly counts, delivering the right products to the right customers at the right times. What started in 2011 as a sales rep tool to help brands process orders right on a trade show, market, or showroom floor has evolved into a full commerce suite trusted by over 3,000 wholesale brands and 500,000 retail buyers, as well as some of the largest department stores in the world. Now they help companies all across the world process tens of billions in gross merchandise volume every year. Discover how New Order's wholesale and retail assortment solutions can help you compete thoughtfully and deliver exceptional buying experiences, driving more sales, higher sell-through, and fewer markdowns. Learn more at NewOrder.com. That's NUORDER.com. Right on. Does growth necessarily, does it mean category expansion? And how long have you guys been doing women's? That came a little bit later, yeah?
Yeah, we launched women's in 2019. You know, three brothers from the middle of the country, men's was a natural thing to start with. And then a lot of our customers, though, were women and asking about it. So we now have a full women's collection as well.
Amazing. Does that mean, do you need to, do you find that the women are buying for their guy? Like, are there different marketing strategies to reach both customers?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're finding. And they were buying it for their guy, for their, you know, boyfriend, husband, brother, whatever it may be. And so just being able to capture that now with the women's collection. And we're learning a lot about who she is and who our women's customer is. And so that's been something we're navigating, because you mentioned earlier, what are some challenges of the business? And I think we're constantly trying to figure out you know, who she is.
Who is she? I feel like it's a younger customer.
Well, it depends. I mean, yes, she's definitely young, but it's a young mom. And so what we originally thought years ago was, and this was the business plan at the beginning, honestly, was I thought this was going to be like college kids. And it turns out that our demo are all in that like 35 to 50 range,
wow.
Men and women. And so, yeah, our woman is a young mom. And so you're going to see from us starting in spring 24 and then really hitting the stride in fall 24 and spring 25 and beyond, really catering to who she is and coming out with silhouettes and color stories and fabrications that I think much more hit where our customer is.
Yes. Tell me about, do you ever get backlash to the word normal? Like, what are people's take on the brand? It's definitely like, you stop and you think, the normal brand. What's the feedback?
I think we have. But honestly, I mean, you know, if you listen to everybody on social media, you know, you're not going to do anything ever.
Right.
And so I think that we learned pretty long ago what to kind of not consider. And then what, I mean, and also on the other, you know, the other thing is people telling us what to do. I mean, like, we've made tons of mistakes, especially at the beginning of, you talked about category expansion. We did a thing years ago, like when we had just started, you know, everything was going well, we're selling stuff. And someone said, hey, you should do dog beds. Well, we ended up doing dog beds and we sat on those dog beds for about 3 years before we donated them to the Humane Society. So we've had some good lessons along the way of when to listen and when to just stay in our own lane.
Right on. There was a similar story, the founders of Negative, which I think they were originally called Negative Underwear, but they're like, that is the dumbest name. But anyway, they're doing very well, I would say.
Yeah.
Totally. Do you guys have a specific 5-year plan? Obviously, you're going to grow the women's business. That's a big opportunity. Couple of stores this year. What else is happening in the years ahead?
I don't think we have like a big, like, this is what we have to be in 5 years. I think our number one thing is we want to get better every single day. So at the end of the day, even though we come to this with no design background, all of us and our whole team are really obsessed with product. And so just the best thing that we can see is someone walking down the street that we don't know, that is not related to us, that is not a distant friend, wearing a phenomenal looking outfit that fits well, that's all from the Noir brand. So that's the best feeling in the world. So we just want to keep doing that for more and more people. So that means we'll grow our wholesale business, we want to grow our online business, and we want to keep opening stores around the country.
I would also add that I think coming from the background of Jimmy saying we have no design background, so really we are the customer. And I know all channels can really relate to it. And and so it's an easy thing when you say the normal brand, it's supposed to be approachable, easy, but then the product is super high quality, comfortable, the right details, and know that really we are the customer too. And obviously we've surrounded our team with, like, we have designers on our team that are experts, but coming from that customer background. And I think with our stores, growing up shopping in stores, it was all like touch and really feel the product. And that's, if it's super soft, you know, you're going to want to buy it. And we use that in building out our own stores and coming from that background. So it's kind of an easy thing. Like, if we're not going to like it, our brothers and I, then it's usually a good sniff test that we shouldn't do it for the most part.
Yeah, that's a good call. I feel like it probably works to your advantage. And I hear this with other folks from other industries, that you're coming to this without a traditional fashion background and you're not in the New York mix. Like, you have a different perspective that's definitely unique. Would you say, are there certain like brands that you guys call competitors, whether it's like a mass mainstream brand or just somebody, a brand that's comparable?
We don't really look at it like that because it's such a crowded market. And I remember even just starting it, people are like, oh, it's too crowded, it's too competitive, like, what are you doing? And if we did listen to all that, we never would have started it. So we don't really look at others as competitors. It's more just kind of stay in our lane. As far as being inspired, I mean, you brought it up at the beginning. I mean, Ralph Lauren for us is like, I just remember going to those like flagship stores when we were little kids and till now. And he's the master, and he was the best. So definitely inspired by the kind of vision that he put together and all those unbelievable collections.
For sure. Your shopper wants to see you. They want to know you. They want to know your values, all the things. I feel like you guys more so than others, but to what extent are you guys consumer facing, your own face?
100%, I think. And we really have been from the beginning. I mean, a brand, no matter how it started really, or what the capital structure is or whatever, it's a reflection of, you know, the people who own it. And so the Norm brand is certainly a reflection of us. And so we're really honest. Like I already said, we totally readily admit mistakes that we make. And I think our people really appreciate that. And that's an approachable and authentic kind of way to go about things. You know, we share our faith in different posts. So when it's different holidays and things, you know, we're not that we're trying to make any sort of a statement, and we've always done this, but it's just kind of a part of who we are. And, you know, we show behind the scenes of what's going on and who our team is and the growing of our team. So, yeah, we try to bring people in as much as we can. And it seems like our customers and followers really like that.
Yeah. My brothers and I, we've done every single job at the company. And it's, I think, because Jimmy mentioned culture, it's us trying to make sure that as we build out a team, that they also have that same mindset. So I think in some respects, when the company first started, it was almost easier because you're doing everything. And then as you build out the team, making sure that they have that same mindset that, hey, no task is too small. Even to a point where we had a takeout trash schedule where literally a schedule throughout the company where each person had to sign up to do it, no matter if they're the CFO or, you know, an entry level position. So that I think is, you know, maybe most important with the company is the culture. And I think that, yeah, like when it started, we were doing all of it, and we still are very, very hands on and go, like, you know, Jimmy mentioned he visits all the factories, and I go to all the trade shows for the wholesale side, and Conrad goes to all the retail stores, and being able to be, you know, in the stores and facing with customers.
Doing it all. Humble, hungry, and smart. is there anything that you guys wish, having kind of leaped into the business at a young age, for some of you, like that you wish you would have known being new to retail? It was a fast learning curve.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think every mistake has been a great learning experience. But joining it, not knowing what a tech pack was or what, which is for people who don't know, it's like the blueprint to how to make clothes or anything about moving anything from point A to point B. Those things, which took a while to kind of learn, it would have been nice to have that experience before. But I mean, overall, like, couldn't be more thankful for the ride that's been, all the ups and downs. And so, you know, we definitely know a lot more now than we did then, and there's still a lot more to learn.
Yes. What can you guys share about your growth to tell our audience about that this is a thriving business? Obviously, the pandemic was a major hiccup. But, what was your experience during the pandemic? Did you see growth? Did you, I don't know, retract?
We grew, but it wasn't like the pandemic was one of these, like, where it boomeranged us, where it was like, you know, that wasn't like, we were ready for the world to be reopened so people could go back to dressing, to going out and going to work, going to the office, going out to dinner, et cetera. So we were really happy to get back out there. Growth has been great. You know, we grow about 40% year over year. And, you know, our big thing, though, is just to have a sustainable, you know, business.
Right on. Kind of important. Any last words? What can we expect in 2024 specifically?
You're going to see from us, you're going to see new fabrications from us that we're really excited about. So new fabrics being launched, same kind of commitment to super soft, durable, comfortable. You're going to see category expansion. So we're growing our outerwear business. We're growing our sweater business. We're growing our bottoms businesses. So, you know, we're really trying to outfit our customer for their everyday normal, and hopefully we can do. We only started with a few shirts, and so now, and I remember, like, and we remember having to, like, figure out how do we build outfits for a photo shoot. Well, now we have no problem with that, and that'll continue.
Go ahead, Lan.
I was gonna say, if you're new to the brand, the fabric that really started the company is pure Meso. So it's a cotton poly spandex blend that's incredibly soft. So if you see anything on the site that says pure Meso, it's usually a good sign, because that was our first ever Henley that we did in 2015, and then we expanded it to tons of silhouettes, hoodies, quarter zips, joggers, and the spring summer specifically, it's called Active Pure Meso. So it's actually what I'm wearing, this polo. But and then I'm most excited too about our we got a lot of different bottoms for the spring and summer, and different shorts. And I could say we wear our comfort terry pants are really popular, insanely comfortable, and have some stretch. So we're really proud of those.
Nice. It sounds good for the return to life post-pandemic. Pure Meso, is that like a proprietary fabric, something that you guys worked on development for a time? Tell me about that.
Yeah, we developed that from the yarn up. And so it was, in fact, when we first started, people said, that's too feminine of a fabric. Guys aren't going to wear that. Because it's got great movement to it, super soft feel, kind of a cooling feeling. And we disagreed, and it ended up being the right move.
Amazing. Well, I've seen your spring collection. I may own a few pieces. You guys, this Ladue Crossing store, it's next to my hair salon. It's across from my gym. Anyway, I feel like we should hang out.
Definitely.
But you guys, you can have a fashion business in STL. There's Somersault also. It's this amazing community. It's amazing to see. Well, congrats on all your success. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot for having us.
That's all for this episode. Our theme music is by Otis McDonald. If you liked this episode, be sure to share it with someone else you think would. Thanks for listening to the Glossy Podcast.